Well, good morning, Faith family. Welcome to Radiant. Glad you're worshiping with us today. If you have your copy of Scripture, I invite you to take it out now. And if you haven't already, turn to 1 Timothy, and we are in chapter 5 today. For those of you who don't know me, I'm not Nate. Shiny bald head like his, but a different guy. I'm Larry Woods. I'm the executive pastor here at Radiant, and almost a year now, just less than 2 weeks from now, be my year anniversary. So it's gone just like that, but I love getting to serve you in that role. I'm going to read 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 16, and hopefully you've gotten there. You follow along as I read, okay? 1 Timothy 5, starting in verse 1, "Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. Honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household, and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work, but refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. For some have already strayed after Satan. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are truly widows." Father, I ask that you would bless the reading of your word this morning. I pray that you would give us ears to hear what your Spirit is speaking to us. God, we are dependent upon you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we dive into the specifics of this text this morning, I think it'd be good just to have a couple reminders. Just to reset, have a clear view of where we are. 1 Timothy is a letter. It is a letter that was written by a real man named Paul, the Apostle Paul. And it was written to another real man named Timothy, at a real church with real people in a real city, and that city was the city of Ephesus. This letter was not written to us, but it was written for us. And Paul is simply stating, in some places in this letter, things that I'm sure Timothy had great context to discern without Paul having to qualify and explain every single detail. We don't necessarily have that benefit. This letter, and specifically this text that we're looking at today, it was written in the first century, and it is not a manual for us to follow in every single detail in the church today. Are there applicable principles? Oh, by all means. And we're going to look at some of those here in just a moment. Specific prescriptions? Well, not in everything. So my intent today is simply to identify and draw out those principles behind the specifics and look for ways for us to apply what God's word is saying us today here at Radiant Bible Church. I'm going to go ahead and just give you all four of the summary points right now, right out of the gate. They'll be up on the screen. We can look at those throughout the rest of the sermon together. First, the church is a family. We need to be respectful and appropriate in the ways that we interact with one another here in this family. And second, widows are to be taken care of and honored. Taken care of first by their relatives, and then if there are none, by the church. Honored by all of us. In God's house, we must be intentional on how we care for one another. And the material care that we give is intertwined with our spiritual care and our spiritual heart. And then finally, in the caring for one another, we at Radiant are committed to godly stewardship. All right, so those four points. Let's now back up and take them one at a time. Let me reread just chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 to reset some context. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity. Paul could not be clearer about the fact that we are a family. The church is a family. There are some significant implications below the surface in these first two verses, and I hope that we get to look at those here as we go through these next few minutes. First, Paul says, do not rebuke. He is not prohibiting correction, spiritual correction. Rather, he is instructing in the proper manner in which correction is to be done. In fact, if you look down at verse 20 here in chapter 5, it says, as for those who persist in sin, rebuke them, and rebuke them in the presence of all. So clearly, Paul is saying rebuke is appropriate at times. But what he's saying here is, Timothy, you are a younger man, and yet you're a spiritual leader in the church in Ephesus. And so the teaching from Paul was for Timothy to show honor and respect to older men in the church as father figures, especially in those times when spiritual correction and redirection was necessary. Paul tells Timothy the same thing, to care gently in this same manner with the older women in the church as mother figures. I call to your memory the fifth commandment, where it says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord commanded you. Regardless of our age, as we interact with men and women who are generationally older than us, we should relate to them in a respectful way as we know we would relate to our parents. Rather than a harsh rebuke, Paul told Timothy to admonish or exhort. It's the idea of helping someone back into the center of the path of God's instruction and God's plan, and doing it in a comforting and encouraging way, not finger wagging and in a condemning way. With younger men in the church, Paul told Timothy, treat them as brothers. Okay, so those of us who have brothers, I think we get this. And perhaps even those of us who don't have brothers have a general understanding of how brothers interact with each other. Dude, what are you doing? Get your act together. We speak freely, we speak directly. And Paul says that's appropriate with younger men generationally of your age. Similarly, with younger women, treat them as our sisters. Peer-to-peer, directly, but in a respectful and honorable way, as we should do with all ladies. And Paul adds this, in all purity. Some commentators I read this week actually said it this way, exhort younger women in the church as sisters and nothing more. I think we all get the point here, but let's not pass too quickly by this short phrase, but let God's Spirit use God's word to speak into us a reminding and a convicting work in our hearts where that's necessary. Look back up in chapter 4, verse 12. Paul tells Timothy there, don't let anybody despise you for your youth, but instead be an example And what are the ways that Paul tells Timothy he should be an example to the church? In speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and there it is, in purity. Now in chapter 5, verse 2, Paul gives a practical expression of what he was encouraging Timothy to be as an example in purity. Church, we are a family. It's pretty clear from Paul's writing, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that we are a family. I was recently listening to a podcast. It was a podcast of three older pastors, all of whom have pastored for decades. One of them is very well known nationally. Maybe all three are, but at least one was I was very familiar with. They pointed out that although God has blessed them to have the influence of a larger audience outside their church family, God has called them specifically to a local congregation of believers with whom they have relationship. That's the same for us here at Radiant. Pastor Nate, the other pastors, the other elders, myself, we have been called to shepherd you. We want to know and need to know you and your extended families and your life challenges and your life joys so that we can, as a family, shepherd you together. We are spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers and spiritual sisters and brothers together. And I want to heighten our awareness to that fact today. Certainly, we need to interact with one another in a respectful and an appropriate way. But we also need to have the courage to humbly call out sin and sinful behaviors in one another as we see those. We equally have to have the humility to hear and receive it back to us from our faith family as well. I want us to call us to be committed to this people, and this place, and this purpose of pointing all people to a passionate pursuit of the radiant God. First among us, internally, as a family, and then certainly in the communities and the spheres of influence where God has placed us. Back to these different terms, rebuke versus exhort, for just a moment. By the very fact that Paul delineates this difference in terms is evidence that there are indeed times when each of us deserves to be directly confronted with our sin and measured against the truth as it's revealed to us in God's word. Makes me think of Paul's second letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where he writes, "All scripture is breathed out by God, and it's profitable," meaning we gain from it. It's profitable in what ways? It's profitable for teaching and reproof and correction and training in righteousness. Those four things. Teaching shows us how God's expectations are for both belief and practice in our life. Reproof points out when we stray away from that belief and practice. Correction helps us know how to get back into the center of the path of godly living. And then training in righteousness. God's word is essential for developing character in us to keep us in godly belief and practice. Church, I call us as we have the courage to interact with one another and both receive instruction from others in our faith family and to offer instruction when we see patterns that are leading us off of the path. Use 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 to help figure out where we are. Are we still training in righteousness? Of course, all of us are training in righteousness, so we'll be doing that as sanctification continues throughout our lives. The Church of Jesus Christ is a family, and the predominant picture throughout the entire Bible of God's people is of a family. There's lots of other areas in Scripture where we could go to this morning, and we're not going to do that, but let's respect one another in this faith family. Let's have the boldness to speak truth from God's word into each other in appropriate ways, honoring family relationships, and have the humility and contrition to receive it. And care for one another in this family. And that's where Paul takes us next in this text of verses, care. And he highlights widows as yet another specific set of people in our faith family that we are taught about and learn how we care for one another. In verse 3, Paul says, honor widows. Honor. It's a repeated theme in chapter 5. If you look down at, well, first it says honor widows in verse 3. If you look down in verse 17, it says let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. Then if you look at chapter 6, verse 1, he says regard their masters as worthy of all honor. So we're going to see anytime in Scripture you see a repeated word that's very close in proximity, we probably ought to hone in on that and see why it's there. So we're going to do that today with honoring widows, and then the next couple of weeks, Pastor Nate will unpack these other two. But honor, it's this idea of value and revere. Paul says that's the way we ought to value and revere widows in our faith family. Before we look at the specifics here regarding widows, I just want to point out the Bible has a lot to say about God's heart for the vulnerable in general. Psalm 68 talks about how God cares for the lonely, the brokenhearted, the fatherless, people imprisoned unjustly. Psalm 82 says that God actually holds judgment on behalf of the weak and needy, the poor and oppressed. Matthew 18 and Mark 10, same account of Jesus calling little children, little ones, to himself. In fact, he got ticked when the disciples tried to prevent that from happening. I use the word ticked. I'll say the Greek said indignant, in case ticked is a sin, okay? Jesus was indignant about the disciples preventing little children coming to him. In Mark 10, it actually says, Jesus took them in his arms. I thought about that this week. Perfectly 100% God. Perfectly 100% man. Using his God-man arms to embrace little children. So reflective of Jesus' demeanor towards children. Jeremiah 31 talks about God's special care for the blind and lame and pregnant women. And then regarding widows that we're looking at here today, Proverbs 15 says, God will establish the boundary of widows. He will protect their possessions. Deuteronomy 15 gave instructions to the Israelite people for how they were to set aside extra food for widows. And then finally, we'll come back to 1 Timothy. The last one is in James, James 1. James, written by the half-brother of Jesus, calls caring for widows pure religion. God cares for the vulnerable. And providing for widows was a fundamental role of the church right from its very founding. You'll recall a couple of weeks ago when Pastor Nate was preaching on 1 Timothy 3 and deacons, and he took us back to Acts 6 and pointed out the very impetus, the reason for deacons being instituted in the church was because the widows in the church were not being properly cared for. I think it's helpful for us to remember, too, regarding widows, that in New Testament times, pardon me, when Paul was writing, there was virtually no way at all for a widow to be able to earn her own living or provide for herself. That's why widows were to be honored and cared for. First by their own relatives, and then if there are none and it's necessary, then for the church to care for those widows who are really in need. Verse 4 says, does a widow have other family members who can care for her? Paul says that's the first source of obligation. It says children and grandchildren, and then it says, make some return. NIV puts it this way, repaying parents and grandparents. It's right there in the text. And even though we live in an environment of a government-sponsored welfare system, God's word and its truth is pointing out that expectations for caring for our parents and our grandparents in their aging years is not just our responsibility, but it says it's pleasing to God at the end of verse 4. Down later, Paul connects our caring for families and specifically widows as a spiritual matter. The material care we give is definitely intertwined with our spiritual heart. Failure to live out godliness for the gospel in caring for widows and others who truly need care in our families is an indication that a person may not truly be redeemed in Christ. This provides some clarity to verse 16. when Paul says, if a believing woman has relatives who are widows, she should care for them before the church does. God tells us through Paul that to not do so, we're not just like an unbeliever. Verse 8 says that we're worse than an unbeliever, indicating that even the unbelievers knew that they should take care of their own. This principle in chapter 5 recalls Paul's emphasis back in chapter 3 that elders should attend first to their own households before attempting to manage God's faith family. It is pleasing to God that we show godliness in our own households. So then, Paul concludes verse 16 by saying, let the church care for those who are truly widows. This is a repeated phrase that's first noticed in verse 5. Truly a widow because she is all alone. In context, those widows who do not literally have family to care for them, which means the rest of this text is really the safety net clause for what it looks like for the local church to step in and care for widows. Let me pause for just a second and say that this matter about widows is something that is very close and dear to me personally. My own mother has been a widow since 1980. My father passed away 44 years ago this past Tuesday, and my mother's been a widow ever since. I will say I'm so grateful to God for how he has provided for her all these years in various ways. My sister, my two brothers, and myself, we are able to help her and to, as Paul puts it, repay her. My one brother in particular has had the means and to help her very significantly, and our family is extremely grateful for that. And while because she is taken care of, she's not truly a widow in the sense that Paul is stating it, because she's not all alone and has a support system, I'm also really grateful that she's been part of a local church in her city that in various times and in various ways for all these years has made really good care for my mother to make sure she's taken care of. So then, as it relates to the local church, we must be intentional in how we care for one another. I find it interesting that Paul has yet another list of qualifications for conduct among a specific set of people in our local church, and yet all of those qualifications are also applicable to each one of us. Just like the qualifications for elders should be character traits that every one of us should aspire to. Qualifications for deacons, likewise. And here, just like widows that the church should consider caring for, we should all be characterized by this list of traits that Paul calls out. So let's look at some of these together. Verse 5, he says, we should set our hope on God, just like widows should have. We should be faithful in prayer, indicating a close dependence on God. Verse 9 says, be faithful to marriage relationships. How insightful that God's word gives guidance that those widows given first priority for care from the church should be those who biblically honored their marriage relationship while their husband was alive. And yet, this really shouldn't be a surprise to us when marriage was given to us as God's picture of Christ's relationship with us, the church. We see it in Ephesians 5, the very church to whom this letter was written on behalf of Timothy. And then in verse 10, going on with these qualifications, have reputation for good works. Be engaged in serving in the faith family. Be faithful to your children if you have them. Show hospitality. Invite people into your life and your home. Have an others first attitude towards serving each other. Care for hurting people. Devote ourselves to good works, specifically and sacrificially in a way that we are willing to give up other preferred comforts for ourselves. And then finally, don't be self-indulgent, like it says in verse 6, which has the potential then to lead us into sinful and unbiblical living, which is pointed out in both verses 13 and 15. So in the context of chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, those key verses for this whole book, this whole letter, where Paul wrote, He wrote the letter so we can know how we ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, and part of that is orderliness for how we care for one another. And he's given us these qualifications to help us with that. In the church, it's good and it's right that we should have processes and methods for how to help those in need using the limited resources of the church. And I'm happy to tell you that the elders for a long time have had a commitment to balancing stewardship with generosity. It's a both and, not an either or. We see in this letter that Paul encouraged having processes for ministry assessment and then encouraged applying those. And praise God, we're doing that here at Radiant as well. Some of you may be unaware that we have a compassion team that meets regularly and has defined processes for how we go about assessing and meeting needs among our faith family. I'm happy to tell you, it's really generous. And we seek to meet as many needs as we possibly can. Praise God that through your generosity and giving, there are ample funds to help people. If you or others you know of in this faith family have practical material needs, there are means and resources available to help with that. So please come to a deacon. Hold that thought for later in the year. Come to an elder, come to one of us pastors, and let us know of any needs that you might have. We're here to help. You'll notice that I didn't address every single detail in every single verse of this passage today. Rather, it was my intent to extract these four principles from the specifics that Paul gave us to Timothy for the church at Ephesus in the first century. Here's a summary statement. And yes, I'm about done. You're going to get in line early at MCL today, okay? Here's a summary statement for you. The church that is practicing godliness in God's house for the gospel is a family and is diligent to care well for each other, both materially and spiritually, while stewarding well the resources entrusted to us. I know that was a big mouthful. I'm going to repeat it again, okay? A summary statement for this passage. The church that is practicing godliness in God's house for the gospel is a family and is diligent to care well for one another, both materially and spiritually, while stewarding well the resources entrusted to us. So, as we have been asking frequently at the end of sermons throughout the 1 Timothy series, what do we do with this teaching today on family and widows? Well, you'd be surprised if I want to give you some suggestions, okay? So here are a few suggestions of what we do as we take away from this today. Is there a widow in your family that you need to consider helping? Do you have an aging parent or grandparent or other relative that you need to consider helping? That, according to Scripture, is pleasing to God. Are you engaged with people here in this faith family so that you can be spoken into spiritually and can spiritually speak into the lives of others? Are you a widow who is all alone or someone who has no one to help you? We want to come alongside you and help. Have you committed to this people, this place, and this purpose as a member here at Radiant Bible Church? You heard Amanda mention earlier, we have a Become Radiant class, our membership class, coming up just this coming Saturday, and it's not too late for you to take advantage of that. Lastly, what are some of these qualifications that Paul lists as consideration for the church caring for widows that we may need a fresh focus on? Like setting your ultimate hope on God, having a more vibrant, dependent prayer life, being more diligent and intentional in your marriage, serving others, showing hospitality, caring for hurting people, devoting yourself to good works, having an others first attitude rather than being self-indulgent. God, I'm asking right now that you do your divine work in our hearts right now, as you have done in my own heart over these past days and weeks as I've studied this passage of scriptures. God, I pray that you would help us to please you as a faith family in the way that we live out these practices and these principles that we've seen in your word today. God, be at work among us. We will be quick to thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.